Technology news, a welcome return to Fevzi Turkalp, the gadget detective. Fevzi, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm all right. Life treating you all right, generally?
Yes, good. Remarkably well, considering I'd serve.
I'm very impressed by your library of books there. I presume they're all on technical subjects, aren't they, Fevzi?
No, some of them are my taxes.
Oh, really? Oh, are you good at all that stuff? I'm hopeless at that stuff. Maybe you can help me with it sometime. Now, to other matters. Biggest tech story this week. Apple, according to the BBC, has released an update to fix security flaws on iPhones, iPad and Mac devices, which it says hackers may have actively exploited. The tech company said the new software provides important security updates, is recommended for everybody who has those devices. So if you haven't got them yet, get them. Now, this is a bit of a shock because we don't ordinarily connect such flaws with Apple devices. So this is an embarrassment maybe for them, certainly a shock. Very unusual.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, there was a similar security patch done in March. I think credit to Apple for two reasons. One, they put the fix out quite quickly, although this is in the wild. I mean, it has been used by criminals already. So we need to update, as you say, iPhones, iPads, Macs, Apple Watches, and even some iPods with the operating system that's like iOS, and they will need it as well. And further credit to Apple, because there are some older devices like the iPhone 6S, for example, which is about 6 years old, I think. Even though that doesn't ordinarily get updates, they've done the security update for that and some of the older iPads. People on older versions of macOS have been asked to update to the most recent one that they can. So this sort of thing does happen. I mean, it's impossible to have code that's as complicated as an operating system is, whether it's iOS or Android, without there being bugs in it. And it's really a question of how quickly that they act. I mean, I think with Google Android devices, part of the problem is that there's a lot of Android devices that no longer get updates of any sort. And so when they have a problem, they don't always get patched. So I don't think it's an embarrassment for Apple. I mean, it would be better if it hadn't happened, but it does.
But it's in the nature of the thing. And as you say, that software is so complicated that, you know, there are bound to be issues that arise from time to time, especially as you're in a constant, you know, both Android and the Apple systems are in a constant race, aren't they, with the bad guys who are constantly trying to find ways in. Is this rather like the Windows situations we've had quite recently, a backdoor? Is that what this is?
Well, it's not a deliberate backdoor, but yeah, if you can cause an operating system to crash, then when it restarts, there's an opportunity to get your hooks into it and gain control of it in that startup process. So yeah, effectively, it can act as a backdoor. I mean, one thing I would say to people, I mean, Apple updates are usually quite reliable in that, you know, they're usually not disastrous in the way that Microsoft's ones sometimes are. So I think with Apple devices, if you're not always on top of tech news, then you can set your Apple device to automatically update when an update becomes available. And if you're not a person who needs manual control and, you know, you're afraid of, you know, certain bits of software not working because it updates, then just set it to automatically update and you will have this update without having to worry about it in future updates as well.
Is it an urban myth that all updates of this kind, especially for phones, slow the phone down?
No, that's not always true. Sometimes it happens. Earlier versions have been quite naff and the new version actually has the effect of speeding things up. But you do have to be careful, and Apple kind of is between a rock and a hard place, because if it doesn't allow some older devices to have the new version of iOS, so it's iOS 16 is going to be out in about 3 weeks' time, I think, with the new iPhones. Some people with older devices, like, for example, the iPhone 7 and 7 Plus, won't be able to take the new version of iOS come 3 weeks' time. So people complain about that. But on the other hand, if Apple does allow it and then it slows the machine down under some circumstances, then people say that it's Apple deliberately slowing down the devices. So, you know,
you can't win.
It's no, well, what I would say, one thing that Apple doesn't do that it should do If you update your operating system and then it's giving you problems, the window to go backwards to the old version that worked better for you is very limited. They stop you going back after a few days after the original one coming out. And that's a mistake, because there are people who might want to try iOS 16 and then find that it doesn't work for them, their machine is too sluggish.
But you have a limited time window to do it.
Yeah, they should just be allowed to go back further.
And is it true? I've always found with Android updates, because I've got an Android phone, always have had, that once you accept the update, which I've just done with one phone, you cannot go back.
Yeah, it's often the case, and there's no technical reason why you shouldn't be able to do that. You should be able to roll back. You know, these are quite sophisticated devices with quite a lot of onboard storage. You should be able to go back. And that's the failing, I think, of both Apple and Android, Google, in that respect.
Because there could be, you know, quite legitimate reasons for wanting to go back.
Yeah.
You know, not just a desire not to be in the vanguard of progress. Any thoughts about driverless cars? They've been in the news this week, as you know, and there were some suggestions this week, and I didn't know whether this story got out there because it's a useful diversion from all the other bad stuff that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's being suggested that driverless cars could be on our roads here in the UK by 2025, 3 years.
Yeah, and some other driverless vehicles as early as next year. Some lorries and other commercial vehicles could be. So it's quite interesting, because there was a report out recently that said that it's not easy to decide when a self-driving car is safe enough. What standards should it reach? And there's some evidence to suggest that even if on average they are safer than the average human-driven car, that people may still not fully accept them. Because the types of accidents that they will have are different, or can be different, to the types that human drivers would make. So there will be accidents that happen. Let's say they're recognition system isn't properly trained for wheelchairs. So there might be a spate of cars hitting wheelchairs, God forbid, whereas they may be better at avoiding other problems. For example, pile-ups in the fog may be a thing of the past, because the internet connectivity could inform a car half a mile away, which couldn't see a pilot.
It's no longer visual, which is always a problem in that situation.
So it would be different. I mean, you could just say once it can pass a human driving test, that's it. And but, you know, we are mistrustful of machines. You know, like autopilot on commercial aircraft can do a lot more than we allow it to do. And strictly speaking, the pilots are not always necessary. But no one wants to get into a plane without a human pilot.
Well, no, absolutely. And one of the things that will become a factor, sadly we haven't got time to talk about it now, Fevzi, in this debate, is whether driving skill is going to be lost because most of the stuff is going to be done for you automatically. And that's been a factor, I know, in some air crashes over the years. Fevzi Turkup, the gadget detective, check him out online. Check out his multiple podcasts. And Fevzi, thank you very much for helping me again.